Boker Tov, Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Vayechi, Rabotai. This week's parasha concludes the Sefer Ha'avot. Bereshit is nicknamed the Sefer Hayashar, Sefer Ha'avot. It's the Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim gets wrapped up with the passing of Yaakov and all of his sons, and that also begins the Shi'abud of Mitzrayim, which is also why I said in this morning's shir, what's unique about Parashat Vayechi that we don't find in any other parasha in the Torah? Rabbi Yisai? What's unique?
There's no
hefsek parasha. There's no patuach or satum. Vayechi, the word vayechi starts immediately after the last word of parashat vayigash, which there's no spacing at all before the parasha begins, which is not the case by any other parasha in the Torah. So, that being said, Rabotai, we find that we know the famous Gemara. It's both in Bavli and Yerushalmi and Midrash. Primarily in Masichet Sotah, Daf Yud Gimel, everybody knows the famous Gemara that when Yaakov Avinu passed away and the whole entourage of his family and the whole, everybody came from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, to Hebron, to bury Yaakov Avinu Ma'arat Machpelah. So there was a holdup. What was the holdup there at the Levaya?
Esau.
Higia, Asa Balagan. Yeah, dear old Uncle Esau came and made a Balagan and he said, what are you talking about? It's my plot. Not going to happen. You're not bearing here. And there was a big, they said, but our father bought it. He says, where's your proof? And unfortunately, they hadn't thought to bring the deed to Me'arat HaMachpelah that Abraham Avinu had bought and given over to Yitzchak and then to Yaakov. The Bechorah was still in Mitzrayim. And therefore, it was held up. And they had sent Naftali Ayala Shelucha to run back to Mitzrayim and get it. In the meantime, there was one person who didn't know, who didn't understand what all the ruckus was all about. Who is that one person? Hushim bin Dan. Some say he was deaf, some say he was hard of hearing, but he didn't get what was going on. And the Gemara tells us that he got very passionate about the fact that Yaakov Avinu was lying the bizayon over there while they went back to Mitzrayim to get the deed. And there's two opinions of what happened. Either he knocked off his head or he knocked out Esav's eyeballs. And either Machloket Bavli and Yerushalmi, either the head or the eyeballs rolled into the Me'arat HaMachpelah and touched the feet of Yaakov Avinu. And when that happened, the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu smiled. Yeah, l'kayim t'pasuk. Yeah, Yaakov Avinu smiled when that happened. And just like the Rivka was mitnabe, lama ishkal gam shenechem yom echad. Why should I lose both of you on one day? Little did she know that both Yaakov and Esav would be buried on the same day, which is exactly what happened there.
He smiled when Esav died?
No, when his eyeballs touched his feet. Yeah, it has to be understood, obviously, figuratively. So, but that's not what I want to focus on today. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, famously dwells on this point, and he asks a very obvious question that all of you should be asking yourself when you read this Gemara. Why is it that only Hushim ben Dan, the deaf one, was concerned about the bizayon of his grandfather? What about Yaakov Avinu's children and other grandchildren? Nobody else cared that Yaakov Avinu was lying the bizayon until Hushim ben Dan came and did something about it? Where was everybody else? Where was Reuben? Where was Yehuda? Where was Yosef, for goodness sake? Why is it only Hushim ben Dan, the only deaf one in the entire family? Why him? So, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichot Musar answers this with a very powerful yesod, a foundation in Avodat Hashem. And he says that all of the other Shvatim, they were privy, since they weren't hard of hearing, they heard the entire back and forth, the dialogue between Isa. I don't know who was, talking with Esav. Was it everybody? Or maybe, I don't know who the representative of the family was. Maybe it was Yosef, maybe Yehuda, maybe Reuben. I don't know. But whoever Esav was talking to, the other Shvatim and the other grandchildren, they were privy to that back and forth as Yaakov Avinu was lying there. And as he was laying there, b'vizayon, they got used, even though it's hard to say, but they kind of became immune a little bit to Yaakov Avinu's bizayon. Throughout that conversation, they became okay with Naftali being sent to Eretz Yisrael. And through that very short conversation, But even then, there's something called histaglut. It refers to that midah, the midah of complacency. They became complacent with Yaakov Avinu's situation, as degrading as it was. The only one who didn't become complacent is Hushim. You know why? He wasn't part of that conversation. And because he didn't have that complacency, he was the only one who was able to rise up and say, hey, people, what's going on? This is not okay. We have to deal with it. He was the only one who dealt with it. It's an unbelievable midah in Avodat Hashem. We've referred to it in the past as the Chubam factor. You remember that? Now, obviously, the Shematim weren't okay with the Bizayon of Yaakov Avinu. They weren't okay, but what? They kind of got used to it to a certain extent, and that created a pagam in their reaction to the situation. It's an unbelievable thing. We find the same thing. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepare Avraham Avinu for the Akedah? If you remember, it says, huh? Avraham Avinu. Hashem didn't prepare Yitzhak Avinu. Yeah? That was the gadlut of Yitzhak. Yitzhak was never prepared. Yitzhak was just thrown into the situation. Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hashem tell Avraham Avinu? He says, Kachna et bincha et yachidecha asher ahavta et Yitzhak. Many different languages. Take your son, your only one that you love, Yitzhak. Says Rashi HaKadosh B'Shem HaMidrash. Why didn't Hashem just cut to the chase? Why did he say, et bincha, your son? Hashem says, Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, take your son. He says, I have two sons. He says, et yachidecha, your only son. What did Avraham say? Ze yachid leimo, veze yachid leimo. Each one is the only one to his mother. Asher ahavta, the one that you love. Avraham Avinu says, I love them both. Finally, Hashem told him, et yitzchak ve'aleu shem na'ola, alecha de'arim eshem wa'alecha. Finally, he said, it's yitzchak, and take him to the akedah. Says Rashi HaKadosh, shem et yitarif da'ato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned that if you would just cut to the chase, Avraham Avinu would be shocked, consumed by, you know, shock and not be able to do it. He could possibly flip out. And that's why Hashem had to break him in slowly but surely. We find something very similar. Last week, when they wanted to break the news to Yaakov Avinu that Od Yosef Chai Bechiu Moshel Be'eretz Mitzrayim, everybody knows the famous Midrash, who did they call? Serach Bat Asher. They called her company music and Od Yosef Chai because they didn't want to shock Yaakov Avinu. Boom, Yosef is still alive. And Avodat Hashem, getting used to something is a very powerful tool. Sometimes to the good, sometimes to the bad, because when a person gets used to seeing certain things, sometimes our reactions are dulled. Everybody knows the famous story that the Chafetz Chaim, Alav HaShalom, was one time walking on the streets of Radin on Shabbat, and he saw a Jewish factory, some say Jewish factory, some say a Jewish person doing Milacha on Shabbat. And the Chafetz Chaim fainted on the spot. He had never seen Chilul Shabbat Beferhesia before that point. And he fainted. A few weeks later, he walked by and he saw another incident of Chilul Shabbat. And this time, he started crying. So he was surrounded by Talmidim. It was by Seudah Shlishi time. And the Chafetz Chaim was asked by his Talmidim, Rebbe, why a few weeks ago did you faint when you saw Chilul Shabbat? And this time you cried. And he told him the legendary answer. I'm sure you all know the story. The Chafetz Chaim told his Talmidim, this time I cried that I didn't faint. You understand what that means? The depth of what the Chafetz Chaim means to say is that the second time he was so upset, he became, you know, if we can say it, in his mind, partially immune to Chilul Shabbat, and he didn't faint anymore. And he was sobbing that he couldn't faint. Can you imagine? What are we going to say? Unfortunately, if that's the Chafetz Chaim's immunity, quote unquote, chas v'shalom, chilul Shabbat, what are we going to say? A person can't become immune to things that stand in opposition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Torah Toh HaKadosh. So we have to use this midah wisely to keep on being zrizim, zealous in our pursuit of Torah Mitzvot, and at the same time, not losing our sensitivity for Hashem's Torah Mitzvot. It's a very, very crucial midah in Avodat Hashem. So I thank you all for listening. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom Vorach. Be well, enjoy, stay safe, and hopefully see you next week. Bezat Hashem Rabotai, Tizkun Hashem Rabot, Naimut V'Tovot, Hatzlacha Rabba.